Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Illusionist dance company Momix, under the direction of Moses Pendleton, will make their third appearance at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, this Saturday and Sunday. Based in Washington, Connecticut, this innovative dance company seemingly defies categorization as easily as its dancer illusionists defy gravity. Their show, Viva Momix, features a collection of company and audience favorites. Artistic director Moses Pendleton has been one of America's most innovative choreographers and directors for over 40 years, and he joins us now. Moses Pendleton, welcome to the Roundtable.
Glad to be here.
When you founded Momix in 1980, did you imagine the company would still be moving along, going strong, and performing all this time later?
It was 36 years ago, so I don't know what I did imagine back then. You know, my memory is basically shot. I could have imagined us going on for hundreds of years, but it'd be hard. I'd have to listen to the tapes.
Do the tapes exist?
Oh, yes. Everything has been documented very well. And you know, they're all in crates and waiting for some archivist to answer that question properly.
What was the impetus that caused you to create your own company, and is the kind of artistic mission of the company the same now as it was then?
I founded Palabolas, and it was a collective artistically and everything else-wise. And I think with Momix, it was a chance for me to be a bit more independent and have more artistic freedom to do the things I wanted to do without having to get approval from the committee, I guess. That's how it worked.
You have worked extensively in film, TV, opera, ballet. Does your initial creation have to be different depending on what medium you're going to tackle for a given piece?
You know, there is always everything has its challenges. Whether you're, you know, like you're working in dentistry or agriculture or business, you know, it depends on what's in front of you, and you try to do the best you can create your way out of the project in a good way.
What?
There's no rules really for it. It's just understanding what's in front of you and trying to make sense of it. In movement wise and the kind of the work that I do, it's you never should have too many ideas about what you think you're going to do, but it's more organic and you have to kind of have an attitude of almost like Tai Chi or Zen or something that. Or water. You've got to go with the flow allow the situation to develop organically and then, you know, make those decisions along the line, along the way.
You said you can't have too many ideas. Can you have too few?
Well, there's always a possibility. You have no ideas. And sometimes that's a good way to begin because as I get older, I also like to get bolder by just saying no to absolutely everything so that other things fill in that you never would have had the chance to play with. I guess that's singing a song of retirement, but, you know, I basically thought that I retired, you know, back in when I was a freshman in college and I didn't go to business school and do all the normal things. In fact, you know, it's not like I'm trying to work out of the box. I've been trying to work in the box, get back in the box, never could. So I've been pounding on the top of that box ever since. Never could get back in. But everyone has to do what they, what they need to do to survive, I guess.
Is there anything akin to writer's block in choreography? Do you ever?
Of course. Yes.
And how do you overcome it?
Well, you overcome it by turning the music up a little louder and having a glass of wine or two, or go jump in an icy lake. It's really a challenge for the brain, and if the brain gets locked, as you would writing or doing whatever, you need to go take a deep breath or have someone whip you, or as I say, ice showers work pretty well for me. And it's just, taking it all a little less seriously. Sometimes I think when you really think that you've got to do something great, it doesn't come out so well. It's when you're having more fun and doing it a little bit more unconsciously. I take a kind of a Jungian approach to creativity in that I like to find ways to tap into the unconscious and the non-thinking. Don't have too many concepts. don't be too don't have too many ideas of what it is, because you're going to get frustrated. So you've got to again go into those mysterious areas and allow yourself to get lost and not really know exactly what you're doing, but have faith that you are going to do something eventually.
And when you have found the thing that works, the thing you're going to stick with, how do you know? How do you recognize it?
And then it's time to move on. Yes. It's time to go off into the unknown, because then you kind of get addicted to the unknown and to the mysterious and the new, you see. I'm fortunate enough to have at least Momics, you know, somewhat organized. I have my partner Cynthia Quinn, who does a lot of the nuts and bolts reality of running an international dance company. And there's a lot to do, like any small business. There's a lot to attend to in order to keep the business working. But part of my business, an important part of my business, is just having, as I say, having nothing to do, wander in the orchard grass, and discharge various impressions into an MP3 player that may be seeds for a new show. So I'm always working on not what shows we have, although I try to make sure they're maintained well, but what is the next thing? And it will take maybe a year of research. I love the research, by the way. Whether you're doing something on Shakespeare or reading Goethe, I read a lot of poetry, and I do a lot of gardening. I do a lot of different things that may inform ultimately the new show that is, you know, seen as a Momics show in a dance theater, whatever it is. I do a lot of photography. Mm-hmm. That does kind of inform me, I guess. Train the eye to see what is there, but not necessarily obviously visible. So you need to train the brain to see. And I like having a year off or two when I can just go out and wander around like a six-year-old at recess. And marvelous.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic.
Yeah, it is. We have to be organized in order to, play the dreamer. Otherwise, you can't get the rent paid.
Of course.
Someone has to do that. You can dream about it, but that doesn't necessarily get it paid. Now, there is that tension always of the dream, the fantasy, and how much you can go out in that wild, mysterious world and come up with all these notions, and then be able to come back and stay with it long enough to bring some reality to those dreams. That's the rub, and a lot of so there's a lot of work to the final creation. You need to almost stop all the free-flowing imaginative state and start actually, once you see it, then how do you hone it in, and how do you make it, how do you refine it, how do you, in an alchemical sense, how do you distill it into something a little more palatable and to be digested by an audience, I suppose, in a very concise way.
Momics will be back at the Mehewi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts on July 2nd and 3rd, performing Viva Momics, which is a collection of company and audience favorites. Could you tell us about some of the pieces that are performed in that show, please?
Yes, this is a show. We have several shows, but this one is a kind of our compilation album, and it draws from several other programs that we've done over the years. And they're, for the most part, short pieces, somewhat like in a musical term, would be an album with two sides and various pieces that I think have been quite successful and eye-catching, and still it runs as a kind of almost like a vaudevillian show, and it doesn't really tell a story, but each piece has its own beginning and middle and an end, and then part of the fun of Momics is you never know what's coming next, and so surprise is part of the element, these pieces are, as I say, they have their own little worlds, like a single song on an album. We use in Momics, typical Momics, we use props and light and various kinds of music to create a kind of a physical visual impression. We try to leave. We don't quite say what the dances are about, but hopefully they are evocative enough to create some and stimulate something, the imagination of the viewer. And it's very positive. Much of it's quite beautiful and funny, and as I say, very physical. And you can interpret it on a lot of levels. It's a great show. I never get tired of it myself.
Viva Momix will be performed at the Mahawi in Great Barrington, Massachusetts, Saturday, July 2nd at 8 p.m. and Sunday, July 3rd at 3 p.m. Moses Pendleton, a pleasure. Thank you very much for the time.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you.
For more information about Momix at the Mahawi, visit mahawi.org. That link is posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.